بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
Very nice, very much an honor to speak to you brothers again today, alhamdulillah. And the topic Brother Kwame he chose for the talk was the effects of the sins, the effects of the sins. And alhamdulillah, the first thing that we have to realize as Muslims or as believers, that no believer is free of sins. Nobody is masoom except the prophets. But believers, we all have sins. We all make mistakes. We fall into sins. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, "By the one in whose hand is my soul, if you did not commit sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take you away and bring another people who would commit sins, and then he would forgive them." This is narrated by Imam Muslim. Narrated by Imam Muslim. And also narrated by Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet ﷺ said that every child of Adam makes mistakes. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّاءُونَ. Every child of Adam makes mistakes. وَلَكِنْ خَيْرُ الْخَطَّاءُونَ خَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of those people who make mistakes are the ones that make the tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is here it shows us, these two texts, they show us that every person, they have sins. And perhaps a person, they might be waiting for an opportunity to make tawbah. They might be thinking, "I'm going to do tawbah in the future. Maybe sometime." Perhaps the shaitan, he comes to a person and he says, "Eventually, one day, I'll make tawbah." Just like he came to the brothers of Yusuf, shaitan, he told them, and the brothers, they told one another, "Throw your brother in the well, and then after that, we will be righteous." So, a lot of times we have sins and we're waiting for some opportunity or something to happen. We just keep putting it off. Perhaps one day we'll make tawbah for that sin. But the beginning step, what is it? How can we start making tawbah from our sins? How can we change ourselves? The first step is to feel regret. Feel the pain and sorrow of having disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and realizing the harm of sin. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he says that sins have a lot of harm on a person. Number one, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that by doing sin, a person is forbidden knowledge. From the effects of sin is that a person is forbidden knowledge. And he quotes Imam Shafi'i, a beautiful poem that is very very meaningful. He says, "I complained to Waqi'," this is Imam Shafi'i, he was complaining to his teacher, "I complained to Waqi'a about my bad memory. So Waqi' told me to leave out sins, to stop sinning." And then he said, "Indeed, knowledge is a light from Allah, and the light of Allah will not be given to the sinning person. Shakawtu ila waqi'i su'a hifzi فأرشدني إلى ترك المعاصي وقال إن العلم نور ونور الله لا يهدى لعاصي. Imam Shafi'i in this poem, he complained to his sheikh that he could not remember some knowledge that he had memorized. And so Waqi'a, his teacher, he said, you have to stop doing this sin. Because sins, they block the knowledge from coming into the heart, the light of Allah. Because knowledge is a light from Allah. To reach a level of knowledge, it's a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Imam Shafi says in his poem, the light of Allah will not be given to somebody who's sinning. So from one of the evil effects of sins is that a person, he will not get knowledge, or his memory will be weak. And this story, I'm sure you might have heard of this story. You know what the sin that Imam Shafi did? He looked at the ankle of a woman. So what about us? You know, he saw the ankle of a woman and now he forgot like some knowledge, you know. So even lowering the gaze, you know, subhanAllah, Allah help us, it would, by looking at the haram, then it causes knowledge to become, the memory to become weak and to lose knowledge. Also Ibn Qayyim, he says, from the evil effects of sins, and this is very very important, a lot of people they ask about, they say, how do I get more risk, more provision, more, you know, to take care of my family or take care of myself? And the ulama Ibn Qayyim, he says that by doing sin, we're prevented from provisions, from goodness. And by having taqwa of Allah, then Allah will bless us with risk. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, then Allah will give him a way out from any hardship. وَيَرْزُقْهُ. He will give him risk from places he didn't expect it. He didn't even know where this risk came from. By having taqwa of Allah, then that provisions will come to the person. But if a person, they do sins, then that will keep away Allah's provision, Allah's risk. And risk here, it means what a person eats and drinks and clothing and things like that. It doesn't necessarily mean having a big bank account. Some people have a big bank account, but they don't get to benefit from it. They die and it all goes to their children. But the risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a story behind this ayah, the Sabab al-Nuzul. There was a person named Auf, a Sahabi, and he was taken in the prison. He was put inside of a prison. And his mom and his parents, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, Auf has been taken prisoner by some of the kuffar. So what should we do? We can send him a letter. What should we advise him? So the Prophet ﷺ told the mother to write a letter, or to say, tell Auf to repeat, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no strength and no power except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she wrote this to Auf, and Auf was known for his taqwa even before this happened. So he said, this is the advice of the Prophet. So he started reading, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He was thinking about the meaning of that. There's no power, no strength except by Allah. And the ropes that he was tied with, they got loose. And he took off the ropes. And so then he went and the door was open. It somehow was left unlocked. And he went out and he saw a camel from one of the mushrikeen. So he got on the camel and he started riding to go back towards the safety to his family. On the way he saw a huge herd of camels. So he started calling the camels. He's like, you know, they have a way. He called the camels. All of those camels of the mushrikeen came with him. So then he arrived back at his house. Auf came back to his house where his mom was and his dad was. And his mom was shocked. He said, Auf, his arms must be hurting, his hands must be hurting from the ropes. He was tied up. Where did you get all these camels from? You know, you were tied up prisoner and now you have a whole herd of camels and you came home safe with no injury. Where did you get all this stuff from? So she told this to the Prophet ﷺ, and then the ayah came down. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will provide, Allah will give him a way out from his whatever situation he's in, and he will provide him risk, provisions from wherever he didn't expect. So sins prevent the risk from coming to us. And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, when he went to his people, he said to them, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهِ يُسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Say, make tawbah to Allah. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send down rain for you. وَيَرْزُقُكُمْ. And he will give you the risk. So Prophet Nuh, he told the people, if you make istighfar, then Allah will send down the rain for you. And you heard of the Salatul Istisqa, the prayer of rain. What the Imam, he's one of the sunnahs, is to, when he gathers the people, to make, tell everybody to make tawbah to Allah. Because the rain is withheld. Some of the hadith, they say Allah will hold back the rain because of the sins of the people, and he only sends it down because of the old people and the young children and the animals. Because people like me, like us, we have too many sins. But he sends it down out of mercy for the animals and the old people and the children. So for the Salat of Istisqa, the Imam, even this Prophet, he turned his cloak inside out to show his humbleness, his poverty, and to give charity, you know, to, because that charity puts out the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make tawbah, everybody make tawbah, and then go out and make that dua, and he raised his hands high up like that, and then the rain came down. So that's the sunnah for to get the provision. The rain is what gives life to the earth. I used to live in Syria. When it was a dry year, the price of the sheep would be much more expensive when there was no rain, because they don't have grass, so they have to buy the grass and import it, and it makes everything expensive. When the meat goes up, and then everything becomes expensive. So the rain is actually, we get all our food from rain, because the cows, they get the grass and they make milk, and all of our provisions is from the rain. Without rain, we wouldn't be alive. So by making tawbah to Allah, by making istighfar, the provisions come. And by doing sin, it holds back the blessings and the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also here, Shaykh Ibn Qayyim, he says, the disobedience weakens the heart and the body. It makes the heart weak. And disobedience doesn't stop weakening the heart until its life ceases completely. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, there's the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, the more that a person sins, the black spots, the dark spots go on the heart until it becomes ran. Kalla bal rana ala qulub. There's an ayah, means like a void, that their heart becomes, no sensitivity left in it. It doesn't feel like it's sinning. And some of the ulama, they said the worst punishment of sin is that it leads to more sin. Mm. The person, once they start sinning, they don't feel sensitive to sins anymore, and then it leads to another sin and another sin, and eventually it leads to the death of the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ, I think perhaps, I'm sure mashallah, your brothers studied the hadith about the heart in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. Indeed in the body is a piece of flesh. If it is good, then the whole body will be good, and if it is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. Indeed it is the heart. So the heart, if it becomes, somebody does more sins and more sins, eventually they lose the feeling of the heart. They don't feel guilty about it anymore, and that itself is a great punishment. Because then a person, the path to tawbah will be blocked. They won't feel like making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also here, maybe a couple more points Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned about the evil effects of the sins, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks at them in a disgraced way, just like the previous nations, like the people of Lot, people of Lut, the people of Shu'aib, people of Fir'aun. They end up following the ways of these people. They end up being like Fir'aun, the people they worshipped Fir'aun, people of Shu'aib. They were cheating in the scales. So they end up getting the humiliation like these nations had before them. So here we come to the issue, which is, how does one how does one make Tawbah? How does one, if one realizes the evil, the effect of the sins on the heart, what can they do to make Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the ulama say there are three conditions to making Tawbah, to making repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what they are? three conditions to making Tawbah.
Must have remorse, I think.
Yes. Well, number one, you could say past, present, and future. Past is the remorse, regretting what one did in the past. And present means they stop doing that sin. They have to stop doing it. If they're still doing it, then it's not sincere repentance. Say somebody, they repented for drinking alcohol. They want to make repentance, but they're still drinking it. They regret it in the past, but they didn't stop. So then that tawbah is not sincere. So present means they have to stop doing the sin. And future, they have to make the resolve not to go do it again. They should have that intention. I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to strive to stop doing it in the future. I'm not going to do it in the future. They have to have that firm resolve. If somebody, they stop doing the sin, but they said, next week I'm going to go back to it again, I'm going to stop for a week, then that's not sincere repentance. They have to have that resolve not to go back to the sin again. If they do these three conditions, then Allah will completely erase the sin.
I at least heard some scholars say too, never that you never go back in that environment.
Yes.
Or something too.
Yes, yes. A lot of the ulama, they talk about one should avoid the things that took one to that sin in the past. If it was a company of evil people, people of Hawa, they should avoid those people that led them to that sin. If it was an environment, a place, if it was evil companions, very important to stay away from those evil companions that took one to the sin previously. If it was like, say, a woman, somebody that fell into a sin with a woman, you should erase the number or cut off all means of meeting that woman, because if he's still interacting and talking to that woman, he's most likely going to fall into the sin again. So he has to stay away from that that relationship that led him to the sin previously. Naam. And also there's two other conditions that the ulama talk about. They say that if the sin had to do with the rights of another Muslim, then in order to be forgiven, it's not enough just to say, oh Allah, please forgive me. The person also has to ask that person whose right that he took away for forgiveness, or he has to give them back the right that he took from him. So if he backbited about somebody, then he has to go to that person and say, please forgive me for backbiting about you. I said something bad about you, please forgive me. He has to get that right, get that forgiveness from that person. If he took somebody's wealth from another person, another Muslim, he has to give back that wealth. He can't just say, oh Allah, please forgive me, I took somebody else's wealth. He has to also return it back to the person that he took the wealth from. If he if the person cannot give the wealth back, cannot find the person, or it happened a long time ago, then they can give that wealth in charity in the name of that person. Say, you know, if I can't find that person or it's too impossible for me to give it back, then they should they can give a charity and say, this is for the sake of that person, inshallah they'll be forgiven. If they're afraid, if they tell the person, I backbited about you, they might get more mad, they might get upset at them. So what should they do in this case? Instead of backbiting, now he's front biting. He can tell, he can, what Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, is if it's going to lead to more harm, like it might destroy the relationship between the two people, he can go to the same people where he backbited about that person and say good things about the person. So to undo kind of what he said, go to those same people and then try to say nice things about the person, inshallah. And then that will, inshallah, that will get the forgiveness. Some ulama, they add two more conditions. We're talking about the conditions of Tawbah, past, present, and future. To regret the past, stop the present, and have the resolve not to go back in the future. If it's the rights of another person, to give it back. Some ulama, they say there's two more conditions. They say one is sincerity in the repentance. Sincerity, they have to do the repentance for the sake of Allah. Say somebody, they used to drink, and then they, you know, they got like cirrhosis or something like of the liver. They say, I quit drinking. They didn't quit drinking for the sake of Allah. They quit drinking because they're concerned about their health. So that tawbah, that will not be sufficient to get Allah's forgiveness. Because he did it, he didn't do it sincerely for Allah's sake. And maybe he would go back to it again if he got the health back again. So it should be done for the sake of Allah. I'm going to quit smoking. It's too expensive, man. He has to quit smoking for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it will be truly, it will be accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, some ulama add another condition, which is the tawbah has to be done before it's the time that it's too late, within the proper time. And what is the proper time for tawbah? Yes, before the gharghara. Gharghara is when the soul reaches the throat. Somebody, when they're dying, what happens? The Prophet ﷺ said the soul goes up and out and goes up like this, and the eyes follow it. So when the soul reaches this point, and the dying person, may Allah give us a good ending, inshallah, the person, they like gasping for air, that's called gharghara. The door is closed for repentance. Because there, now they know they're dying. They know it's over. So that repentance is too late. They didn't do it sincerely. It's too late now. They have to do it before that moment. And number two is that the other time when it's too late is when the sun rises from the west, which is a major sign of the hour. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that the door of Tawbah is open until the sun rises from the west. When the sun starts rising from the west, the people see that. They say, oh, it's all make Tawbah now, it's too late. They have to do it before that. So it has to be before the time of death or before the sun rises from the west. So these are basically, we could say, six conditions, if you want to be very complete about it, is doing, making Tawbah sincerely for the sake of Allah, regretting the past, stop doing it in the present, have the resolve not to go back to it in the future, giving back the rights if they involve another person, and the last one is doing it within the time, before the time is over, before the time for the tawbah is over, inshallah ta'ala. Sincerity is number one, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, not for a worldly reason. Regretting the past, they should have regret about what happened. If there's some pleasure in the heart, if a person, they still say, if I had a chance I would do it again, that's not regretting. They should realize that, that they should have that, we should have that feeling that we did something bad. If we don't feel like we did something bad, then we can't even begin to make tawbah. It has to start with a realization that we did something wrong, and then we can go to the next, and then the next step is to immediately stop doing it, to completely cut off from that. And like Brother Kwame mentioned, cut off from the things that lead to that sin, like if it's bad companions or a bad environment, or if somebody has, like, I think a lot of people, they might have had like a music collection, you know, the CDs and stuff like that. If he still keeps them, then he might start listening to them again. So he has to get rid of those you know, the things that lead down the wrong path. And that way, that's completely cutting off from the sin. The fourth point of the one, two, three, four. Fourth point is to have strong resolve. I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to stay away from that. Never and again in the future. To have that resolve, that's part of sincere tawbah. And then the fifth one is, if it's the rights of others, to give it back. And six is within the time. If a person does these things, these conditions, past, present, and future, let's keep it simple, just the past, present, and future, they fulfill those conditions, then Allah will completely erase the sin from one's account, as if it was never there. In fact, some hadith, they talk about, actually some ayahs, and Allah says in the Quran, that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلَ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah says, for those who make true tawbah, Allah changes their sins into good deeds. SubhanAllah, out of His mercy, Allah, He'll make those sins that they had done in the past, because they changed completely, they fulfilled the conditions of tawbah, that will actually become good deeds for them, because they had to overcome those sins, they made the tawbah to Allah, so Allah will completely change their sins into the good deeds. Now, so here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the beginning of tawbah, again, the shaykh, they talk about a person should feel a type of humbleness and brokenness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should have inkisar, like feeling the need, the weakness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once they do this, they have a white slate, a clean slate, alhamdulillah. Abu Dharr, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, Ya ibadi, O my servants, indeed you make mistakes by night and by day, and I forgive all the sins. So seek my forgiveness and I will forgive you. Narrated by Imam Muslim. Here in this hadith, it's narrated that Allah, this is called Hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi is when the hadith is narrated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the words are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah is saying, O my servant, O my ya ibadi, indeed you do sins by the night and the day, and I forgive all the sins, so seek my forgiveness and I will forgive you. So if we go to Allah and seek His forgiveness, then Allah is telling us, He's promising us, I will forgive you. I will forgive you all those sins. And Anas ibn Malik, he narrates that he heard the Prophet ﷺ say that Allah said, O son of Adam, if you call on me and have hope in me, I will forgive you no matter what you have done, and I don't care. O son of Adam, if your sins reached the peaks of the sky and then you sought my forgiveness, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, if you came to me with the whole earth full of sins, then you met me and not making any partners to me. Without making any partners to me, then I would come to you with an earth full of forgiveness. Narrated by Imam At-Tirmidhi. So here, this is an important point. Everybody's heard the hadith of the man who killed 99 people. And then he went to a worshipper, and the worshipper told him, you cannot be forgiven. 99 people, he killed too many. It's too much. I mean, one person or two, 99. So then he killed that worshipper. He made it 100. So then he went to an anim. This is in the time of Bani Israel, most likely. The anim told him, who can come between you and Allah's forgiveness? But he said, you have to leave that evil land where those people are doing the evil, go to a good place. And he left, and he was on the way, he died halfway, and the angels, they debated with each other, or they wanted to, the angels, each one wanted to take him, one wanted to take him to the punishment, wanted to take him to mercy, and Allah, some narrations say Allah made the earth smaller so that he could get closer to the righteous land and be forgiven. And so this shows you the virtue of how great Allah's forgiveness is. That no sin is too great for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can forgive any sin. But here the condition is that a person goes to Allah without making partners to Him. And one person, they make the sincere tawbah to Allah, He'll forgive all of their sins. And then another hadith by Imam Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever comes near to Allah by a handspan, this is a hadith Qudsi, that Allah says, whoever comes near me by a handspan, I come towards him by an arm's length. And whoever comes towards me by an arm's length, then I come towards him by ba'an, more than that, a longer length than that. And whoever walks towards me, then I run towards that person. And nobody comes to me, if a person comes to me with an earth full of sins, then I come to him with an earth full, or likewise, of forgiveness. So you see, brothers, beloved brothers and sister, sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much bounties. Allah is so merciful, and He covers our sins. You know, subhanAllah, if our sins were exposed, you know, I think some of the ulama said that if you could see my sins, or you could, if sins had a smell, you wouldn't want to stand near me. Alhamdulillah, Allah has covered our sins from alhamdulillah. And not only that, He has given us so many ways of forgiveness by extending His hand in the day to forgive the sins of the night, and extending His hand by night to forgive the sins of the day. So what we have to do now, what the ulama say, is we should not procrastinate. Oh, that's another condition some of the ulama say. If you delay, if one delays tawbah and one delays repentance, then they have to repent for delaying repentance. we have to repent as soon as we can. We shouldn't procrastinate. The shaitan is always telling us, put it off, you know, it's, you know, one day we'll have a chance to make repentance to Allah, but we have to try to repent. We should repent right away, immediately. Al-Fawr. Al-Fawr means immediately. So in order that we don't know when we're going to die, inshaAllah ta'ala. So we should do that as soon as we can. And one other thing here, when we go to Allah for forgiveness, if you go to a person, they might get angry with it. We keep asking and asking from a person. Allah, He loves, the more we ask Him, the more He loves that. So we can ask more from Allah and make our hopes high and our aspirations high from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Also, Allah will ask us about why did we delay the tawbah? How long are we going to delay tawbah? How long are we going to delay making tawbah? So today is the day to start, inshallah. Today the hour is now, inshallah. We ask Allah to turn to us in His forgiveness, and you know, to clean our slate of sins, and to forgive us and turn towards us, and to remove the effects of the sin from all of us, inshallah ta'ala, and accept us in His firdaus, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah reward all of us, all of you, inshallah, and forgive all of our sins, and make us of those who are always turning to Him in repentance, inshallah ta'ala. JazakAllah khair. That's what I had here. Any questions or any comments? Yes.
An individual, right, for example, just say they have a problem with drinking or doing drugs, and you know, like they know they have a problem. You know, and they know what they're doing is wrong. You know, and they make a sincere repentance, and they do all the make it all the conditions,
yes.
You know, and they constantly, you know, sin and they repent. Sin, repent, you know. Is it like, you know, and what...
Is it accepted from them or not?
Yes.
As long as they fulfill those three conditions, past, present, and future, then their sins will be forgiven. As long as they fulfill that. Even if they fall into that sin again, then they have to make a new repentance for that new sin. But the sins that had happened before and they already fulfilled the conditions of repentance for them, then they have already been forgiven. So if they make tawbah completely, and that means they have the resolve not to go back to it again in the future, they stopped it and they cut off from the means to it, they regret the past, but somehow they fell into it again. Now it's a new sin. It's not connected to what happened before, and they have to make a new tawbah again for that new sin to be forgiven. But Allah will keep forgiving a person as long as he keeps making tawbah to him. Allah is very bounteous and very much forgiving. His bounty is not limited. Allah has a lot of richness. So You know, he can forgive over and over and over again. That's what tawwab means, actually. Tawwab, it means one who's oft forgiving. So, but the key here is that a person has to fulfill the conditions of tawbah. A lot of times we might not fulfill all the conditions of tawbah, and that's why we keep falling back into it again. If a person doesn't truly regret what happened in the past, then it might lead to him going back to that sin again. He might still feel a desire to do that sin again. So he has to regret it, hate that sin. He has to hate what happened. He has to cut off completely from the sin. So if he's still, like brother said, if there's some companions, some people he's talking to that bring him into that sin, part of the condition of tawbah is to completely remove the things or the people or the environment that leads that person to do the sin. And the third thing is that they have to have the resolve and the firmness in their heart to stay away from it in the future. That's really hard to achieve also, to have that firm resolve, because it's willpower. You have to have the will, the strength to avoid that. So, but if a person, they did those things and then they fell into the sin again, then it will be forgiven again. There's a hadith, I believe, about that person. He asked the Prophet ﷺ, if I do a sin and I ask Allah forgiveness, will he forgive me? He said yes. He said, if I do it again and I ask Allah for forgiveness, will he forgive me? He said yes. And if I do it again and I ask Allah for forgiveness, the Prophet ﷺ kept saying yes. You know, that Allah, as long as you want to ask for forgiveness, Allah will forgive. But yes. Oh, sorry, I don't know who was first. Come salam, hatabah.
If a person knows that they have sincerely made repentance and changed and amended their conduct according to what they repented for, and apparently demonstrates that, you know, by so many ways, and as far as everybody knows, you know, that they're not doing anything other than, you know, what they should be doing according to the deen. Is it then my responsibility to accept that the person also, because they say that they have, you know, and as far as what I can see, they really have, do I then go and turn around and make a judgment against that person in such a way that makes the person feel as though they don't, I don't believe that made a change away from the sin or whatever it was.
This is a very good reminder, good point. This issue comes up a lot in a marriage situation sometimes, with a spouse and a husband or the wife, or even before marriage, if a woman or a man did something that they made tawbah from. And I know that's not maybe specifically what you're talking about, but the ulama talk about this. And they say that once a person has really done the conditions of tawbah, nobody should dig up their past. It's not right. It's actually really evil and really wrong to like keep digging on a person and saying, why did you do that, or did you do that? And it could if the person has really made sincere tawbah to Allah, Allah has covered their sin, then also Muslims, we should cover one another's sins. That's part of what we're taught. The Prophet ﷺ, I heard one of the shiuch mention a hadith that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, my son, I saw him doing zina. So the Prophet ﷺ said, why didn't you cover him up with your cloak? Don't expose him to all the people telling him, look what my son did. So you hide him, you know, and he can maybe make tawbah afterwards. But don't go around exposing people's sins. That's not right, especially if they make tawbah from it already. Once they make tawbah from it completely, it's erased. The hadith, "Ataibu min adhamb kaman la dhambala." The person who made tawbah from a sin is like one without a sin. So it's not right to dig up people's past, you know, and dwell on that, because that's like sometimes it's culture. A lot of times in some cultures, they say a woman, she on the wedding night, they say she's not a virgin or something like that. So the husband would dwell on, it could have been from an accident, it could have been from something else, Allah knows best. But in many cultures, the husband will dwell on that the rest of his life. He might even divorce her on the spot. so much in their culture. And then if not, he'll like punish her for that the rest of her life. And that's not correct. You know, if he questions her and she might have, Allah knows best what happened in her past, but if she says, you know, I didn't do anything, or, you know, it happened by an accident, then he should accept that. He shouldn't keep digging up, you know, what happened to her in the past. As long as she, if she made tawbah from that, then that's between her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, it's not something one should dwell on, you know. And as long as it's not continuing, you know, if it's over with. But if it's continuing, then, you know, obviously a person has to have ghira. He has to have protection of his wife and so on. But in general, I think to answer your question is that we should, you know, we shouldn't dwell on people's past. You know, you're right. That, you know, once a person has done the tawbah, then we should, you know, we don't have any right to dig up people's previous sins and things like that. Sure.
Especially if I'm making an assumption. You know, it's something that they don't really know one way or another. Yeah. Just certain things that they're trying to put together, you know, to make an assumption.
Right. Yeah. Also in general, we're taught. Allah says, "Wajtanibu kathira min al-dhann, inna ba'd-dhanni itham." Surah Al-Hujurat. Allah says, "Stay away from much suspicion, because some suspicion is sinful." So in general, we should not. These are ills of the heart. We're getting into the issue now, but ills of the heart. And the Prophet said, "La tahasatu wa la tabaghadu." Don't have jealousy of one another. Don't have hatred towards one another. Don't turn your back to another Muslim. Don't, you know, wakunu ibadullahi ikhwana. Be the servants of Allah, brothers of one another. Have the brotherhood. Have the love and the brotherhood for one another. You know, this comes under the innama mu'minuna ikhwa. The believers are brothers of one another. They have love for one another. They strive to help al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minatu ba'dhum awliya'u ba'd. The believing men and the believing women, they're helpers of one another. Ya'muruna bil-ma'ruf. They wata'awanu al-birri wa taqwa. Help one another to have birr and taqwa. We see a person slipping. Instead of criticizing or getting angry at that person, try to help them out. You know, maybe they, you know, they need our help. Maybe they got in a bad situation, and, you know, just try to offer some help to that person. But that's what the brotherhood requires. If a Muslim is not coming to masjid for a long time, he might be sick. Well, one of the rights of a Muslim is to visit him if he's sick. A lot of times a Muslim brother, he doesn't come for a long time, and nobody even asks about him, nobody even, you know, so that's a right also. So we have to help one another as believers. You know, if we do see a Muslim sinning, not that he had a sin in the past, we see him sinning, we should try to, you know, try to help that person stay away from, to stop doing that sin, you know.
To build on your point, what type of mechanism as a community would you say, community, like some type of system to help brothers who are making the transition to Islam and they still, whatever they in drugs, whatever they still indulge in?
Yes.
And because a lot of times it's like the way that, you know, the, in this type of culture here, people. I mean, sinning is just like natural, you know, and like shahada, and it's just like, how can we? I mean, what can we do as a community?
Jazakallah khair. The only best answer that comes to my mind is to follow the Prophet's guidance, the way he dealt with people who did sin. Do you remember one of the most beautiful stories in the Seerah? A young man came to the Prophet and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I want you to permit me to do zina." The Sahaba, they looked at him like, "What is he saying? saying such an evil thing to the Prophet. So the Prophet said, leave him alone, he's a young man. And he said, would you like somebody to do that to your mom? Would you like somebody to do that with your aunt or your sister, your daughter? So then a person, he thought about it, he said, no. So he said, just like you don't like somebody to do that with your family, other people, they don't like that to be done to their family. And then he put it, I think there's a narration, he put his hand on his heart and he said, oh Allah, purify his heart or something like that. And so the man left, the young man, he left, and he said, when I went to the Prophet ﷺ, I used to love zina more than anything else. And when I left from the Prophet ﷺ, I hated zina more than anything else in the world. So he was compassionate. The way that he taught that young man, he didn't immediately, you know, the Sahaba were like a little bit, you know, more strict with him, but the Prophet ﷺ, he was compassionate. When the Bedouin man, he came in the masjid, and he urinated in the back of the masjid. You might have heard the story about this. There was a Bedouin man, he tied his camel in the back of the masjid and he had to urinate. And in the Bedouins, they come from the desert, there's no bathroom or no, they just go wherever there's a corner. So he went in the corner and started urinating. And the Sahaba tried to stop him, said, what are you doing? And the Prophet saw what was happening and he told the Sahaba, لا تزريموه. Don't stop him from his urination. Let him do his finish. And then he said, bring a bucket of water and wash it away. And let me talk to him. And then he brought him aside and he explained to him in a compassionate way. Again, he said that this is a house of Allah. It's a place of dhikr. It's not a place where we answer the call of nature. You know, but it's a clean place. And the man was so relieved after that. And he said, may Allah have mercy on Muhammad and on me and nobody else. Now these other people were yelling at me. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, you made restrained what Allah has made vast. Allah's mercy is for everybody. And then he even told the Sahaba, and this is in Bukhari I believe, he said, you have been sent, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُ مُعَسِّرِينَ. You have been sent to make things easy and not to make things difficult upon the people. And so we learn in this hadith, the taking the lesser of two harms. When if they took the Bedouin out, he would have urinated, the urine would have spread in all over the masjid, he couldn't clean it. And also the muscle that is in the bladder that controls the urine, if you force it to close or stop prematurely, it can become damaged. And then he would have, the rest of his life, he'd have some problem with urination. So the Prophet ﷺ, seeing the consequences of that action, he said, leave him alone and let us talk to him privately. And part of the, there's a whole fiqh behind how do we advise and give da'wah, and always it should be done in private, not exposing people in front of others, and it should be done with lean, being easy and gentleness in the da'wah, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa and Harun to Fir'aun, وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Say an easy word to Fir'aun. He's a man who says, I am the Lord of the worlds. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَى. Tell him an easy, kind word. Perhaps he'll remember. Perhaps he will have the khashya, he'll have the humbleness. So the having gentleness to Fir'aun, who says, I'm the Lord of the worlds, then what about a person who makes sajda to Allah? Shouldn't we have more gentleness to such people? So there has to be leniency in the way we give da'wah. I think that was your question, right? What was the other question again?
That was basically it. Yeah.
How do we advise people who are struggling, who are like in between, or that struggling to get on the right path? I think yes, because you have to look at the main thing, you want them to stay on the faith first and foremost. Because a lot of people, they take shahada or they have the enthusiasm in the beginning, but the main goal that we have to have, long term goal, is to keep people on the path. And the other thing is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the most beloved actions to Allah are the continuous ones, even if they're small. So person who just became Muslim, alhamdulillah, pray the five salah. He doesn't have to pray all the sunnahs and qiyam al-layl and duha and everything. You know, just let him get used to praying the salat, inshallah. Then slowly you can tell him the other things, inshallah ta'ala. So salah is very important. Tahara, like how to purify oneself, and salah, that's really like the most important thing. Tawheed is part of that, inshallah. And then over time they can learn the more advanced topics, inshallah. Yes, sister. Okay, two questions here. One is about a physical addiction, substance addiction, and one is about mentally, somebody might have some psychological problems. And again, this is where compassion, I think, it's important to, a couple of things. I mean, the physical addiction, part of Tawbah would be to take the physical means to remove that addiction. It's not enough just to say I'm excused because this is an addiction that I have, but they have to get the medical treatment. That's part of Tawbah. To cut off from the sin, one has to go and they might have to take the medical treatment to get them off of that addiction, or they have to do the means to remove that aspect of their the struggle that they're having. So they have to take, it might not just be making Tawbah to Allah, they might have to go another step, like actually go to a hospital or go to a place where they can get the right treatment to get off of that. And but the first recourse should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because without Allah's help a person will not be able to change themselves. It's Allah who can help us to make to get over these sins, these addictions. That's why we always say, oh Allah, do not leave us to ourselves for the blink of an eye. We have to always ask Allah to help us, you know, completely call on Allah completely and make Him, ask for His help. With Allah's help, anything can be done. That's a guarantee.
kind of maybe a weird question. Say a madrasa, are any attempts like a madrasa to have some people like, you know, some, you know, shaykh or student where people can actually, you know, they go away to detox or, you know,
right.
Maybe go away amongst
there you go, brother. You got it, brother. Seeking ilm, studying the ilm and the knowledge, and just coming to the masjid is a cure in itself. Wallahi, sometimes you have the stresses of the dunya and all these worries and depressions and things like that, and you come and sit in the masjid for an hour, attend a halaqah, all of that is cured. You don't need to take Prozac or anything else. So being in a good environment and in the masjid and learning, that is a cure for a lot of the psychological problems, no doubt about it. Studying the fiqh, if you can't do it physically in a masjid, then listening to the ilm on the
hall. Like, say if you had a few, you know, just good imams, and
right.
They had a building, and brothers just go away and be in that, and they deal with those issues. Of the
home. Yeah.
Instead of them going to like some spiritual read or whatever, and he gives them some, we know, some crazy.
Yes.
But something, you know, based on Quran and Sunnah.
Right.
That got attempts to maybe one day.
It's a good idea, mashallah. It's a very, it's a practical need. It's a definitely a big need for a lot of Muslim brothers, you know. But it really has to be based on knowledge, because if they go out from that place and back to the old environment they were in, and without knowledge, it's just going to go back to the same thing again. So when they learn, if somebody studies the ilm, they can change, a real change. They can become completely reformed. Mashallah. Do we have time for a couple more questions? All right, so we'll take. Is it okay if we answer one more question? Or is it, no?
Okay, I'll turn it off real quick. and this is something I do. I also do. I'm not just talking about it. Encourage, and let someone know. Also part of answer her for her question. That it definitely is possible, you know, and especially with assured faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you to fix, you know, and fix whatever the and will help you through it. And matter of fact, only with Him, because human beings will fall short.
Yes.
Agencies that's set up to help people can fall short.
Absolutely.
The person themselves will fall short. But it is possible. A lot of people in addiction don't believe that they can really live without the addiction.
Think about the Sahaba.
It is possible to live without.
Right. Think about the Sahaba. They used to drink alcohol. No, there was a time when it was allowed. I mean, they didn't do it, but they were drinking the cups. But because of their strong iman, because of they had enough knowledge, enough faith in Allah, when the prohibition came, they were about to pour the cup and they threw it down. You know, they had the cup like literally in their hands, and they took the jugs and smashed them, because they had the iman. So the iman has to be there first. If a person is going to say, I'm going to quit all these things, but they don't have the iman, they don't have the knowledge and the taqwa, it's not going to be easy. But if they get that connection to Allah through learning the ilm and coming to the masjid and getting strong, then they can really let those things go very easily. It'll be very, very easy for a person. It brings us back to the beginning of the dars when we talked about وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa, Allah will give them a way out from all their problems and provide from them where they didn't imagine. So it has to start with, you know, getting the knowledge and the taqwa and the iman, and getting in the masjid and start doing the ibadah and the salah. And close with the story. There was a sahabi. He used to steal at night and come and pray with the Prophet ﷺ in the daytime. So the other sahaba, they came to the Prophet ﷺ, they said, there's a man, he steals at night and he comes here and prays in the day. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the salah will stop him from stealing. Salah tanhahu an dhalik. Because Allah says in the Quran, indeed salah prevents evilness and wickedness. Inna salata tanha an al-fahsha'i wal munkar. Salah, prayer, coming to the masjid, praying, being in that good environment, and getting that obedience to Allah, then it eventually will make a person, he will, if he gets strong in that and regular in that, then it will make it easy to, he will have to give up those other habits. So inshallah, you know, this is what the best advice for all of us is, to work on our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then ask His help. Oh Allah, help me to stop doing this. You know, when we read about in the chapter on the showing off in the worship, how do we get rid of riya, showing off in worship? The ulama, they say you have to make a lot of dua to Allah. Turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, help me get rid of this. And also, one other thing I wanted to mention yesterday is that we should never leave a good deed out of fear of showing off. Because that's another chapter the shaitan uses. So why am I going to go to the masjid? I'm going there to show off, so I'm just going to stay home. We should still do the good deed, but strive to purify ourselves, our intentions, inshallah. But never leave a good deed out of fear of showing off for the people, inshallah. Allah knows best. وجزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك استغفرك واتوب اليك صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم جزاك الله خيرا الحمد لله